Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Air passengers should not automatically be considered high risk for spreading COVID-19 and should be treated like members of the local population who have not had any direct contact with an infected person. Now, this is according to new European guidelines for air travel, which were published jointly by the European Centre for Disease and Prevention Control and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency. To talk about this a little more, I'm joined on the line by Aoife McLysett, who's Professor of Genetics at Trinity College in Dublin and a member of the Independent Scientific Advocacy Group. And I'm also joined by Pat Byrne, Chief Executive of CityJet. Good morning, Pat, to you firstly.
Morning, Claire.
This is a big shift, isn't it, in advice?
No, it certainly is, and it's very welcomed by the industry, and I think hopefully by the travelling public as well. It should actually increase people's confidence about resuming travelling again.
But the government has already said, hasn't it, that it's not going to change its current advice, which is don't take any non-essential journeys.
That's what they're saying. But I think that it's difficult to ignore the advice coming out now from ECDC and EASA in this joint publication. I mean, they actually are quite strong. And in fact, it is pretty consistent with WHO pandemic guidelines from 2019, where they're clearly advocating against movement restrictions once a virus is substantially across populations.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, of course, is certainly across Europe. So I think one of the key issues really is that a lot of what has been happening is that we're guided by numbers and the numbers per 100,000. And those numbers generally are produced by the PCR test process or testing process, and there's growing evidence emerging now that the PCR test is not as accurate as we would like it to actually be. It is a fairly highly sensitive sort of test, and it produces a lot of so-called cases that are not necessarily cases at all. And
a case is a case. I mean, you might be symptomatic, but you could be still transmitting, and that's the risk that is there when you're a confirmed COVID case, isn't it?
That's very questionable because, you know, there's a lot of scientific evidence emerging now that there's a huge inconsistency across the number of amplifications that are actually used in different processes. There are different processes used in different laboratories and
okay.
so on.
Well,
so
I think
it's very inconsistent. It's inconsistent.
Well, in this case, on the travel advice, you're saying let's rely on the experts. I think when it comes to the PCR tests and COVID cases, we should rely on the people who are experts in that field as well. Can I bring in Professor Aoife McLysett? Do you think that the government travel advice should change on the basis of what we're hearing today?
Unfortunately not. No, I don't think it's wise to let international travel go unfettered and uncontrolled. I think there's no country that has controlled this pandemic that hasn't had some quarantines or something like that on international travellers. And so what we see is our public health doctors are under a lot of strain already as it is with the internal cases, which is not under control yet. And the least we can do for them is turn off the tap. You know, they're trying to mop up a big mess in the country. We're coming into winter, we're coming into all the problems that come along with that and the strain that puts on our hospital system. And it isn't the case that, I mean, so saying that, you know, this virus is everywhere, therefore there's no point in trying to control it is kind of a defeatist attitude. And that's a shame. I think we've done well now getting our numbers down. We are the best in Europe, as we've been told. And so we can presume that people coming in have a higher infection rate, at least the population they're coming from has a higher infection rate. So there's a real risk that we import more cases just when we're trying to get things under control. It's not a good idea. It was probably the thing that was our failure in the summer, in that we didn't control international travel in the summer. And there's good evidence that imported cases and reseeded the pandemic here when we had actually got our numbers very low. And we do know of examples. There was the one example that was very well documented of 59 cases that originated from a single flight. And within a few days, cases originating and like so that the secondary cases then mm-hmm. onwards were in 6 of the 8 health areas in the country.
But you start to wonder, like, who do we listen to? If the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control is telling us that international travellers should be treated in the same way as local residents and be subject to the same regulations or recommendations as applied to the local population, then surely we should listen to that.
Well, yeah, I don't know why they said that exactly. It's quite surprising. So I'd like to know more about it. But I think the caveats and what was mentioned there as well by your other guest is that, you know, if the levels are the same between the areas, but they're not the same everywhere. And, you know, different parts of Europe have different infection rates. But in any case, you know, if we are trying to get this under control, we just come out of a period when we were restricted to 5 kilometres. We're now restricted to our county. We're talking about a little reprieve around Christmas Day when we're allowed to go around the country. If we, you know, we've accepted that some travel restrictions are necessary to get this virus under control. And international travel is just a step too far. And I understand, and I'm sure, you know, the travel industry is suffering and the airline industries are suffering, and they should be compensated for that. You know, we are asking them to do something essentially for a public health benefit. It's not at all to do with their business. And I know that they're all doing the best they can. They can provide very clean conditions inside the airports and the planes and all of those kinds of things. But we should be supporting them. We bailed out the banks. We should be bailing out the airlines when they're actually doing something.
Pat, to come back to you, I mean, what evidence is there about air travel? Is it more about, it's not quite about what happens on the plane or even in the airport. It's about the area that you're coming from, isn't it? That's where the concern is.
Well, Claire, let me give you an example. We've been flying out of our base in Copenhagen all around Europe since June. And in all of that time where we have crew operating an average of 4 flights each a day, staying overnight in hotels, using transport to get to and from the airports, going home when they're off duty, socializing, coming back, come on duty, in all of that time, we have not had one case of COVID among our crews. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Mm-hmm. Aoife, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that's great. And it sounds like you're a good employer and I applaud you for that. But that doesn't change the fact that when you have people travelling around the country, around Europe and around the world, it's transmitting the virus. That's how this virus spread so quickly early on. I mean, this virus went from being just about recognised to being everywhere in such a short period of time. It is carried by the movement of people. People moving carry the virus with them. And as I said, the public health doctors are under such strain already. The least we can do for them is try and minimise the number of cases coming in. It's happened already with receding. And I think it's great. And I think it is possible to have isolate, you know, it's possible to make conditions locally good, but it's all a collection. What we're dealing with here is a collection of small risks and small instance rates, and they all add up and add up and add up. And this is what happened already, and it can happen again. And I just think I sympathize with the airlines. I sympathize with every business that is suffering for this, and they are suffering for the public good. And that ought to be recognised. Okay. I don't think,
Just, Pat, when you talk about what's happening with your base in Copenhagen and the flights that you're running, are you suggesting that Ireland is an outlier?
I do think Ireland is an outlier, yes. And I do think that the refusal to embrace antigen testing, for example, versus PCR is extraordinary to try and understand, because antigen testing at least will tell people if they're infectious. It is a very inexpensive test at running an average of €5 a unit, and the result can be gotten as short as 15 minutes. So I think that antigen testing is something that has been looked at in other countries. We are continuously refusing to look at it here officially, even though it does exist in Ireland, it is used in certain companies and so on. So I really think there needs to be a move towards antigen testing.
Yeah, it's used privately, just not in the public health context. The Professor of Community Health at DCU, Anthony Staines, he said, he was talking to the Irish Times about this news today, and he says that it defies logic. It's really, really dangerous. Europe is throwing itself under the bus, and this is a risk.
I think that, look, this all comes down to personal responsibility for your own safety and for the safety of others, that you're not going to put other people in danger. And I think that, you know, we can't try and control and intervene and tell everybody what they can and can't do. And it's not about, you know, the airline industry wanting to come out and earn a living again. It is about a people's right to be able to travel safely and freely. The EDCDC didn't come out lightly and say that there is no evidence of people travelling presenting any greater risk. They didn't come out and say that lightly. And we can't just lock everything down, make everything an island. You can't make mainline Europe an island anyway, because it's not. So, you know, why don't we have the same approach to people travelling on trains or in cars or whatever? So, you know, I think that it is right for people to travel.
I mean, it's a good point. And Aoife, I would put this to you from Mike in Ennis, who says, if we're restricting travel from other European countries based on the fact that they have higher rates than us, why not apply the same logic to travel from Northern Ireland?
I think we should, actually. So I think we should be, you know, we've just come out of lockdown now. We've come out of level five and we're now on a county basis. I actually think we should be thinking of counties as zones. And when certain counties, if they are hotspots, we should have localized restrictions localized to a county. And if the hotspots in Northern Ireland can also be treated the same way, if that leads to Donegal and Louth, as some happened already, becoming highly infected, then we can have localised restrictions. We need to avoid having the whole country locked down again and just deal with the problem in a localised way. And I think, you know, this is something, it needs a kind of total rethink, I think. Otherwise, we're going to be going back into lockdown again. And I think if I was in the tourism industry, I'd be thinking towards next summer. And what do we need to do to have a proper summer and a proper proper travel and tourism industry going in the summer? Because at the moment, we're not on target for that. We're more likely to be in lockdown again very soon.
Yeah, we were talking to the Minister for Justice there earlier in the show, and she was suggesting that if case numbers rise exponentially in the next 10, 14 days, that there could be a change in restrictions before Christmas.
Well, yeah, and I think it takes some time for us to see that, and that's what they've all acknowledged already, and they're kind of hiding behind that. But yeah, I mean, we can predict as activity increases, the numbers will increase. It would be fine if we had the numbers we had during the summer, then it was something we could deal with. But at the moment, we have uncontrolled transmission. We have about 40% of our cases at the moment where we don't know people caught them. So, you know, they caught them somewhere. We just can't identify where it was. So all of these unknown figures, it's just uncontrolled transmission. It's going to get bad again, unfortunately. And we will be talking about lockdown again, unfortunately. And what we need to do is we need to have joined up thinking here. And we do need to restrict travel, which we've done with lockdowns before. But I would like to not do that. If we have to restrict something, I'd rather restrict international travel in the terms of quarantines and upon arrival and things like that.
So not for you, non-essential travel is off the agenda until next summer.
I think it probably is, or until the numbers get better. I mean, the numbers could have been better by now if we'd handle things correctly. But I think we should be thinking about controlling this better, because otherwise we're just importing cases, and that's what we did in the summer. I think we could have travel, but you have to quarantine and take the correct isolation steps.
Okay, so Pat, you can travel, but you got to quarantine either side.
That's complete nonsense. And the whole advocation, you know, advocating for lockdown all the time. Lockdown is an incredibly devastating, brutal, blunt instrument that is totally unproven. We keep talking about numbers, that's the PCR positive numbers that are used all the time. Portugal, court case last week where they ruled that it could not determine if a person actually was infectious, and that the PCR test was ruled illegal on that basis. There's a case going in Germany.
I don't know if we'll be using Portugal now as an example. Portugal had a terrible time in the second wave.
I'm talking about what we're basing everything on. We're basing everything on PCR positive numbers. That's what we're basing it on. That is what is used to create the hysteria that drives lockdown.
Okay, just to be clear, I'm not advocating for lockdown all the time. I'm actually trying to argue that we should be trying to take steps in order to avoid being in lockdown all the time. What we're doing at the moment is leading us into semi-continual lockdown, and I'd like to see us taking steps that mean we can get out of lockdown and stay out. And with regard to the testing, various tests are going to have error rates. We know that and we factor that in. But we can see that people are getting sick, and the hospitals know that people are getting sick. And so I don't think it's right to call this a hysteria. This is a real public health problem, and we have to take serious steps to deal with it.
Okay, we're going to leave that there. Pat Byrne, CityJet CEO, and Professor Aoife McLeish, thank you both for joining us on the programme.